case, please.
The next application is 12,036 CMH Homes, DBA Oakwood Homes seeks a special use exception to place a manufactured home, section 115-23C and 115-210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the north side of Hoot Owl Lane, approximately 500 feet east of Irons Lane, Road 348. The 911 address is 34979 Hoot Owl Lane, Dagsboro. The zoning district is AR2, Agricultural Residential District. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 7, Parcel 191. For the record, we'd submit that we received four letters in opposition. Actually, we received five. One came today, and you do have that in front of you, and that is from Burl and Feinberg LLP. That also included a copy of the deed restrictions and petitions from the neighboring property owners. The four letters, one was from the Calhouns, Bessie and J.B. Calhoun, and then they have aware of the size of the lot and that a permit is required. They have concerns about how it was issued and that the home is on a lot, and they would please give this your consideration, that it was not done in accordance with the regulations that they own. Lot 163, which is 14.14 acres, adjoining the property. Received a letter from Nicole Harrell. She's a realtor, that she has a problem with the exception, along with others in the neighborhood, that they built a home conforming to the covenants and restrictions, as did every other home in the community, and they have concerns about the property owner having built two other homes in this community, and they should have been aware of the restrictions, that they are burning trash from the double wide with no regard, and they are continuing to construct the property. They have concerns about the potential property value of their site, of their home. And then we have a letter from Walter Smith that he would like to strongly object to the installation of a double wide in their neighborhood. It's clearly against the planning and zoning code, yet it's already on the property. They're seeking a special use exception after the placement of the home. They have concerns about the behavior going against the county's regulations, and that the company was aware of the laws and the need to abide by them like the rest of everybody else. And then they're also concerned about property value. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Gil Alexander Fleming, 13 Radcliffe Drive, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19971.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening,
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, just a minute, please. I'd like to go on record that I did receive a phone call prior to being appointed to the board. I will disregard any information given to me in reference to this issue and just listen to the facts tonight.
Thank you.
So your any decision you'll make will be based solely what's on the
solely
record?
On tonight's testimony. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'm here to we received a notice on, I believe it was August 18th, September 13th, that the property in question was an undersized lot, and that it was it had to go before a board for a special exception. At this point, we already had the house constructed on site, so that was a bit of a problem at that point. There's also another property in question at the same time, but we have been issued a permit to place this home there. We also have gone over the restrictions as far as the covenants and deed restrictions. There are no restrictions that stand out to me that state that any manufactured homes cannot be put on these properties. Based on solely zoning, when we called, my salesperson called to do due diligence before we purchased the lot, and was told by a county person that it was AR2 and was fine for mobile homes and modular homes. there was no roof pitch restrictions, there was no other restrictions that were mentioned. And then before we closed on the property, Mr. Hitch, who owns and started the subdivision, signed off that he didn't care what went on there. He saw the plans and specs. The real estate agent that sold the property also saw the home. I mean, everybody did due diligence ahead of this. Mr. Hitch, again, we have a signed statement by him that he releases, he doesn't care. I think I sent this to Janelle. Perhaps it got into evidence, I don't know.
I would submit that for the record, if I were you.
Yes.
Because I don't see that in our file. Perfect.
So the real estate agent that listed the property, I believe, did due diligence enough to know that the manufacturer would go on there, which we found that to be the case. The salesperson certainly did her job in calling the county and finding out what the restrictions were. The attorney's office, before we purchased the land, certainly went over all the covenants and deed restrictions and got up with Mr. Hitch, had Mr. Hitch, you know, contacted. He got the information he needed from us and signed off that he didn't care one way or the other. So we acted upon that. We built the house. We got a permit. We did not start any construction without a permit. So that kind of stuck us in a spot. We'd spent tens of thousands of dollars putting a house out there. And as far as we knew, it was fine. Then, as I said, on the September 13th, we received a letter stating that it was an undersized lot. In Sussex County, there's plenty of lots you can put houses on that are this size in subdivisions. Mobile homes are fine. So it just depends. I don't see really grounds of malice in this point. I think we were given a permit. We acted upon the permit. We did due diligence ahead of time, and now we're stuck in this position. So I understand the opposition letters, but it is a very attractive home. It is installed. The only thing that may be against any kind of code or county regulations would be the undersized lot. I think that's probably where the focus should be, the undersized lot. Other than that, there's no deed restrictions. Mr. Hitch signed off. Everybody did their due diligence up front, and the county issued a permit. So that's where it stands.
So Mr. Hitch is the landowner?
Yes, sir.
So you went by what he said?
No, it's not.
If I give everyone a chance, please let the board ask the question of this gentleman. Then I will recognize everyone. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Ortman.
Yes.
My understanding is Mr. Hitch is the original developer of this subdivision.
Okay.
And the deed restrictions or covenants such as are Mr. Hitch's.
Okay.
Who maintains full rights, I guess, until it's all sold, to make any and all changes or allow anything according to his.
So that's what you went off of? But when he said that was fine, that's how you did it.
Well, no, sir. That's just part of the puzzle. He went off of, number one, it was listed as okay for a manufactured home out of the home. Number two, we called ahead and asked the county for all what could go on that lot. We're told it was fine. It was AR2 and it was not a problem. Nothing about roof pitches or size or anything mentioned. Number three, the attorney did title search and all the kind of due diligence there. That's where Mr. Hitch came up. And then we had Mr. Hitch see the plans and specs, because it says in here that he's to see all plans and specs and approve of them. At which time we did that, Mr. Hitch approved of and also signed off on the letter that you've been presented tonight.
Would you present the document to the board showing Mr. Hitch controls all decisions of the development until it's 100% sold?
Mr. Mears, the board doesn't recognize nor enforce deed restrictions or covenants,
okay.
So it's kind of a moot point that we even see it.
He brought it up.
Yeah, and I was gonna bring that
up.
That,
I wanted to read it.
The only thing is, Mr. Mills and Mr. Mears board's edification, so the public. We don't enforce those restrictions. However, there are certain provisions of the code where they may be applicable. This being a reference, there is a reference in the code as far as manufactured homes that it not be prohibited in a restrictive covenant. So just want to make that clear. It is,
right.
This is about the only instance where maybe you might see that come up.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you have any other questions?
No, sir.
Any further questions?
As I pointed out, and you know, it's not this board's responsibility to enforce those or to consider them. And I understand the Mr. Fleming, the puts you in a compromising situation. It also puts this board in a compromising situation in that many years ago now, I don't know how many, 10 plus, the zoning ordinance was changed for mobile homes, and in that it was limited to mobile home, double-wide mobile homes, going, as you well aware of, going on three-quarters of an acre or more. And since we, and since that was adopted, I know that we've had one or two as I recall, they were maybe hardship type cases, not, you know, to consider yours short of being a hard, you know, difficult and financially expensive situation, but it's not the practice of the board to make an exception to that, because what had happened was that when long ago, when mobile homes on less than 5 acres was being permitted by this board, it became a precedent was set when Mr. Calloway and I started on the board, had already been set, and it was a real problem. You know, this board was rubber stamping those, and that's why they changed the ordinance. And so we have been and will continue to be very cautious in making any exception to that. Just wanted to let you know that. It also puts us equally in a difficult position.
I think the burden lies, you know, we were issued a permit from Sussex County, Delaware. Mm-hmm. That does carry some heavy weight.
Sure.
Certainly, I think the burden would lie finally on Sussex County to make sure that, you know,
no question,
issue permits are fairly, especially when we're buying this $70,000 lot.
No question.
Where we're putting out a house and spending tens of thousands of dollars, and then we're told we shouldn't have done that.
But that burden doesn't necessarily continue to this board to approve something outside of the ordinance. So having said that, the question before us is, will the request substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties? And so with that, can you address that specifically, how it would not substantially affect adversely? Are there other mobile homes in the development?
Well, rather, there's mobile homes and probably modular homes.
Modular, okay.
But I don't see where it's going to adversely affect the neighborhood. It's a fine-looking home. It's a display home. And we don't feel that house is in any way detrimental to the neighborhood, no.
Is it constructed in the same manner as a stick-built home or modular home?
No, it's a HUD home. It's a mobile home. It's a manufactured home. Which a modular home is built to its code, and a mobile home is built to its code.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. No further questions.
Yeah. Further.
Okay.
Will this be permanently anchored on a foundation?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And will all wheels, axles, lights, or removable towing be removed?
Yes.
Will all utilities be permanently connected to the home?
It's already done, yes.
Okay.
And
is it one section or two sections?
Two sections. This is a double wide home.
So the siding is connecting of all the sections of the home, I presume?
Yes.
And it complies with housing, fire, and health code?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Okay, do we have two? Do you wish to come forward and speak in favor of, or just a show of hands?
Yeah.
Show of hands, okay, like record state then. Okay, now, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Please leave your hands up so I can get a count.
And if you actually want to sit down so we can actually count. There we go.
I better thank you.
All right, thanks.
15.
Now, for those that would like to speak, would you please come forward at this time and be sworn in? Again, the last call. Those that wish to speak, please come forward and be sworn in.
Keeping in mind, we don't prefer not to hear redundancy in testimony, nor about deed restrictions and covenants.
Okay, just what's before us on the application, please. Okay, would you come forward?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Just what your deed restrictions?
No,
we don't enforce those or have anything to do with those.
We prefer not to hear redundancy in testimony
and
about deed restrictions or covenants because it's not ours to enforce.
Not ours to deal with, sir.
But certainly we'll give you a chance to speak.
There is one point of contention about that because it does actually say
it's sworn in first.
Yeah, be sworn in.
We'll give you a chance to speak, sir. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Kenneth Lee, 34967 Prudell Lane, Myers Acres.
Okay, thank you. Can you wait right here? I'm going to swear everybody at the same time. So come on, sir.
Charles Campbell, 34999 Prudell Lane. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Ma'am?
Come on. Nancy Butters, 34962 Prudell Lane.
He said Butters?
Okay,
thank you. And sir, come on up.
Norman Pulte, 35042 Prudell Lane.
Okay. Mr. Sharp, just a minute. Again, the last call, is there anybody else here that would like to testify in opposition to this application? I want to make sure that I didn't miss anybody. This is the last call. Thank you, ma'am.
Got one more coming up.
So. Yeah, one more coming up. So everyone gets a chance that wanted to. Thank you.
Hold on, ma'am. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Yes.
Thank you. And do the five of you, can't see you, ma'am. Do the five of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. And I believe Mr. Lee was the first testimony.
So, L-I-E-B.
Okay. You have the first. Folks, you can sit down, and then what we'll do is we'll take in order that you were sworn in.
Thank you.
And, you have the floor. And if you have any exhibits, you can submit them down to Ms. Cornwell at the end. I just ask that when you come up to speak, you repeat your name for the record.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Kenneth Lee.
Okay.
And I have no exhibits, but you're stepping up. Tommy here has plenty. And my first question is, I understand you don't enforce deed restrictions, then what good are they?
Well, the thing is, this board has a limited jurisdiction as granted by the General Assembly of the State of Delaware. So we are not in a position to enforce deed restrictions. Deed restrictions can potentially be enforced through the Court of Delaware, through the Court of Chancery. That's not something that this court has jurisdiction over. There's a separate part of the Delaware Code that deals with restrictive covenants. So
okay.
We're limited simply to questions of zoning issues. So the question before us tonight is whether or not this manufactured home will substantially affect the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties. That's the main issue before us tonight. So
okay.
We just make that statement so that folks know, because there are sometimes people come up and go, oh, we can enforce deed restrictions. We don't have that authority.
Okay,
so.
I understand. And if I can just apologize for my outburst a little earlier,
it's okay.
Mr. Howard Hitch does not own any property on the street any longer.
Okay.
But he did put those covenants forth, and I believe it does state in them that we still have the right to enforce them. Other than when Mr. Campbell steps up here with some literature, and there were some letters, I believe, that were submitted.
We've received whole packet of letters.
We get them, sir.
That came from the attorney, so that's all together. There was an.
We had a letter that had 20-some signatures on it.
Yeah, I referenced that we had the letter with a petition.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My only, what I'd like to state is you'd mentioned possibly a hardship situation. And I'm sure there may be other instances where a mobile home or a double wide can go onto maybe a smaller lot in a mobile home park. Is that correct?
Well, with what I was referencing earlier is that the county council many years ago changed the ordinance and only allowed double wide mobile homes on 3/4 of an acre or more. And since that ordinance change, this board has only approved one, maybe two, with an extreme hardship. I don't think that the applicant is necessarily made that determine or, you know, that point to us that it would be an extreme hardship, but it's certainly, I think, a financial hardship for him.
There is a possibility.
But it's, you know, it's not something we have set precedent over.
I'm just, my own knowledge, I'm not a realtor, I don't usually get involved in these things, but I know of at least one other lot in Sussex County that is in a mobile home park, and it's $25,000 less than this lot is. I just have trouble understanding why someone didn't do a little more research and looking for, if I was going to pay $80,000 for, I wouldn't be putting a mobile home on it.
Well,
so.
But you're, as with all of you, it's the applicant's responsibility to prove to us that the request will not substantially adversely affect the uses of adjacent neighboring properties. On the other hand, it's your responsibility to prove that it would substantially adversely affect the use of.
Well, I'm the direct neighbor adjacent to
this
property.
Then just explain to us how that would be.
It is not conducive to our neighborhood. It's not in any way, shape, or form constructed as any other house in our neighborhood, and some of them being some very old farmhouses. It does not fit in with the rest of the neighborhood.
But do you have any supporting documentation on that to where it will substantially affect from a realtor? You do
Mr.
have that?
Does.
How about bring your property down? Okay.
Yes.
That's fine.
And I believe there's a letter from at least one realtor in your package stating that also.
Okay. Very well.
All right.
Any further questions?
Thank you. Mr. Mayor. No, I'm more waiting for the other guy.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Charles Campbell. I live in 34999 Hoodow Lane. And the one thing that I did want to say right off the bat, I am not a licensed real estate agent, nor am I an attorney. But in the matter of about 2 hours running up here from my property, I was actually able to get Article 4 AR1 AR2 agricultural residential district. Buildings permitted, detached single family dwellings on individual lots. A manufactured home may be used as a detached single family home on a lot of 3/4 of an acre or more. Now these folks just sat here and told you that they couldn't find this information out through supposedly a guy that's been in the business for years, an attorney, salespeople. I found it out within an hour or so. And then he also presented a document that was made by Howard Hitch as far as the covenants or deed restrictions. Can I just say something in answer to that? Because it does mention here in Section A, the lot is not within a major subdivision created prior to the effective date of this section. I tried to find that out, but no one seems to know what the effective date of this section is. So indeed, if our development was created before that, it's a reason for it not to be there. But it also says that it is not prohibited. This is where, you know, I understand that you say you aren't responsible for deed restrictions, but they are recorded with the Recorder of Deeds, which is part of Sussex County. And it also makes mention of that in here, that they are not specifically prohibited by recorded covenant. Is that not a deed restriction? Recorded covenant.
And that's why we were saying before that there is that one, that's the one part where it applies. However,
and
the one thing I did want to make clear, though, is the board doesn't enforce those, but it is a requirement, as you cited.
That's correct. So. And that was my second point as far as the due diligence. You know, they said they got Mr. Hitch to sign off. Section 7 of our covenant say that no structure, either temporary or permanent, a trailer, tent, barn, treehouse, or other similar outbuilding or structure shall be placed on any lot, either temporarily or permanently. That is in writing. And then Section 11 of those same covenants, these restrictions may be enforced by Howard Hitch, his heirs, executors, administrators assigned, or any property owner, which is us. So none of us property owners in that subdivision signed off on any of this. Our understanding was one of the folks in the neighborhood met a lady earlier in the summer. She told us that she was buying the lot and building a single family home. The next thing we saw, there was a double-wide mobile home sitting on the lot. That's when I called the county on September the 12th or 13th. I was given the name of a man, Jeff Whaley, which is the zoning inspector, and I was told that he would call me before the day was out. I did not hear from him. I called again on September 15th, which is the Friday of the same week. He was not available, but within 10 minutes, he was sitting in my driveway. He admitted to us, my mother and myself, together, that the permit for this had been issued in error. I don't know if you have it in, or not, the Board of Adjustment application. Also contained in that Board of Adjustment application is the Sussex County Manufactured Home Placement Permit. You have that?
Mm-hmm. No.
No? Right on the permit where it says Sussex County Manufactured Home Placement Permit, up in the information where it says applicant information, there's written on the document, possible special use exemption, right here.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to clarify that right now. That was written after the permit was issued, when there was questioning, when you called, we went and pulled the permit, and that's when that was written on the permit. It was not written on the permit that way when it was issued, because we do not handwrite items on the permit. So I just want that clarified for the record.
Okay, because there is a lot of stuff handwritten on there. Also, on this application was written the size of the lot, 100 by 170 feet, which is 17,000 square feet. When I talked to Mr. Whaley, as I said, he was in my home, he told us flat out, Mr. Campbell, this house does not belong here. Plain and simple. So somewhere along the line after that, this special use exemption thing on the same day, because the sign was put up, and I asked Jeff Whaley, I said, what happens with this special use exemption? He said, well, basically what has happened is we have issued a stop work order, and that's no more will be done until this is heard before a court or the Board of Adjusters. That same day, there was someone out there, it may have been a subcontractor, I don't know who it was, installed a heating and air conditioning system in the trailer. The following Monday, they brought a well drilling rig in, and on Tuesday, they drilled a well. And subsequently after that, they graded the lot, installed a driveway, and I kept calling the county saying, I thought there was a stop work order issued. And they said, yes, indeed, there had been, but we can't enforce it.
Actually, I'd also like to clarify that.
Yes, please.
There is no stop work order on this permit. We put a hold on the permit, which means the county will not do any further inspections.
Okay.
That's the difference. We put a hold on the permit on the 12th or the 13th of this month. Mr. Fleming was told we were putting a hold on the permit and we would not be doing any further inspections.
But there was no stop.
But so we did not put a stop why, work order on the property. We put a hold on the permit.
Why would we have been told that?
I can't answer that one. Sometimes they get them confused, but we did not put a stop work order on it. We put a hold on the permit.
Okay.
So that's the difference, okay.
But that's what we were told, a stop work order. That's why I called each time something was subsequently done. And we were all, and I think some of my other neighbors called, if I'm not mistaken, and they were all told the same thing, that we can't enforce it. So that was my question as to why would there be a stop work order? And if there wasn't a stop work order, why shouldn't there have been when the county recognized the mistake of issuing the permit in the beginning? Why was work allowed to proceed? one of the things in Mr. Fleming's application, he actually filled in some things about variances and other things, but I just wanted to mention some of those. The lot is apparently smaller than others in the subdivision. There are 26 lots in the subdivision. There is one that is 23,000 square feet. There's a one almost 20,000. And every other lot in that development is 17,000 square feet. So it is not smaller than any lot. A home could be built on it the same as any other lot in there. There's another thing where he mentioned, not at all, this home is very attractive. There are other mobile homes in the subdivision. It's written in the application. There are no other homes in the subdivision that are mobile homes. He also mentioned that it is a very attractive home with a 512 pitch roof. In that package you have that is the front page of the borough finder, the law firm, there is a document in there from a licensed contractor saying the roof on that home is a 212 pitch roof. It is a mobile home roof. And then the basis for the appeal, customer bought the home, we were issued the permit, and the home is complete. Well, that's not a hardship because they could have stopped halfway through the project, but they chose to go on even after this appeal. They knew about it. There are also two letters in there. One is a competent home appraiser in Sussex County. The other is a competent real estate agent, saying by having these homes in our neighborhood, it will substantially detract from the property value of the existing homes. You'll find them in there. And one other thing that I did want to say is she said there was four or five letters against this. There is actually one letter in there that has 17 signatures, and there's actually three more that are separate. So there's a total of 20 property owners out of 26 that are not in favor of this staying in our development.
Sir, do you have any pictures?
Absolutely. What would you like to see? Pictures of all the homes in the neighborhood?
Homes in the new one, too.
Okay, if I bring them up?
You're going to, and we're going to keep them. They all have to come to me. Well, if you're going to submit them, we have to keep them. So they get submitted into the record.
These are the homes that are in the neighborhood.
Okay.
This is the home that we're putting in.
Okay. One other question. What does Mr. Hitch do? I mean, he took the prints to him. What does he do? I mean,
Mr. Hitch originally subdivided the property in 1973. I have a plot plan that came right out of this office. He hasn't had any personal or financial interest in that property for years and years and years. We do not have a what you would call homeowners association, but we have always abided by those rules that he set down. And you know, we either, for example, one of the men right here, he bought a home in which he wanted a fence that was higher than the fence that was actually in the deed restrictions. We honored that. We went to Mr. Hitch, and he approved it. But like I said, number 11 in those covenants does give us the right to enforce those deed restrictions, which none of us signed off on this property whatsoever. We didn't even know it until it was placed there.
May I say something?
So these are all your homes in your development right here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They are the homes. Here are also some more pictures.
Give them down to the secretary, please.
Okay, I'll give you all these. I just want to make sure. Yeah. They're all the same thing.
Perfect.
There's actually another application before you for the same thing, and I had some pictures from that neighborhood too, but I didn't want to make sure they were mixed in. The other thing that I would say is, you know, as I said, I'm not an attorney. I'm a layman. I'm a property owner. I'm a fisherman. I hunt for, that's what I do. But it took me all of less than 2 hours to figure out that this shouldn't have been done by county regulations, by deed restrictions. In no way has this man answered any of the questions to my satisfaction, or I think yours, as to why that should be left there. I can't afford this. The property that we bought is the single biggest investment that we have ever made, and down the road 5 or 10 years, I don't want to lose 25% or 20% or 10% or anything because of something that's non-conforming in that neighborhood. And all those documents that I told you about, from the real estate appraiser, from the real estate company, from the contractor that actually visually came out and looked at the pitch of the roof on the property, it's all in there.
all these pictures you're giving us, all that development?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all taken by me on my street. It's a one-street community, 13 lots on each side. The other thing that I would mention in this is, you know, some of our homes are seasonal use, which means the people aren't there, so sometimes the grass isn't cut on time, sometimes the trees aren't trimmed on time, but always eventually it does get done. When these people came into our neighborhood, we don't have a, what you would call, when they put the rough coat in for the street, we have a finished street. And as you can see in there, pictures of the street, they unloaded heavy equipment right on the street. They actually, when they brought the mobile home in, there was a big tree that overhangs the street that snapped a major limb of that tree off and left it hang. Two people called twice and asked them to please come and fix the limb. And they were told they'd come out. One of the neighbors actually had to put a ladder up and cut the limb down. So it just seems like my take on this whole thing is we weren't made aware of this before it happened. This is none of our doing. The county is responsible. The fellow that put the trailer in there is responsible. But I'm here defending myself against something that I don't think has anything to do with our neighborhood. It should have been figured out by the county or whoever.
Is this one in your neighborhood, or is this it?
That might be a picture. Yeah, that's actually before they put the concrete facade on the front.
Yeah, that's his.
Yeah, most of the houses in the neighborhood are probably anywhere from 1,600 to 4,000 square feet. I believe that's 1,100 square feet. Did you find the letters in there from the...
Oh, yeah.
That's about all I have. Thank you very much for doing this out. I appreciate it.
Yeah, all right, sir.
Do you have any questions for me?
No, not at this time. I don't. No, sir. Questions. Not at this time.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
My name's Nancy Butters, and my husband Michael and I own on the map over there 209, which our house sits, and we also own 210, which is an empty, vacant lot, but adjoins ours. And we feel that this house, which is in that yellow area, kind of adjacent to ours, would be a big detriment to the value of our home and lot. And it's kind of, you know, concerning that if you would approve this, thank goodness, hopefully you won't, but it would also kind of affect our empty lot, that, you know, something could come in and, you know, you maybe want to put another one there if we decide, or our kids at one time in the future should decide to sell that lot. And also there's another empty lot at, I think, what is it, 189, which is directly across from us. So it would, you know, if things continue, you know, you set a precedent, then our house would be sort of on a corner, catty-corner, possibly surrounded by the same type of house. We built our house 32 years ago, moved in about 32 years ago, a stick-built house. Lived here, raised our kids here, and in all those years, I can't remember one instance where we've had to come to the Board of Adjustments for another house to get approved there. So all the other homes, you know, sort of fit in together. We're sort of modest, many ranch-style homes, but kind of fit the deed restrictions and, the houses that we need to have, we fit well together, and this one does not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. The next.
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Good evening, ma'am.
My name is Angela Schaub, and we are the owners of the home directly across the street from this new mobile home. I wanted to say that, first of all, Mr. Fleming keeps saying this house was built. It wasn't built. It was delivered and dropped on the site. And if a home had been built, we would have seen it come, a foundation, poured, sticks, you know, everything that goes into building a home. And if anything had been amiss, we in the neighborhood would obviously have been able to either get involved or check or something like that. But because there was no prior notice of anything of this happening, there was no sign put up that said, you know, variance requested or something for this lot, we just you know, went, drove down the street one day, and there was this tractor-trailer delivering a mobile home. And in accordance to everything else, it is anchored to the ground, it has cement foundations, it has cinder blocks, it's they dug footings, foundations, and none of that happened. So we didn't know anything that was coming in the future. So apart from it being a great surprise to us that something like this happened, when Mr. Fleming Contenza was built, it wasn't built. It was just delivered and dropped on site. So we had no indication, or maybe we could have been here a lot sooner. And then in accordance, they have the variance notice up, but to keep seeing things happening, even though neighbors are getting involved and trying to get things sorted out, and they just continue as if nothing had changed. And now they say it's a hardship to deliver the house, when of course if they would have stopped at the first indication, it would have been much easier to correct the situation. So that's where we are now, to try and undo everything that they have apparently done, even though they knew there was contention in the neighborhood and that we were coming to approach, they were requesting variances and things of that nature. So it just seems like it's all a little backward now. They're saying it's their hardship, when they knew specifically that this was coming, and they can still continue despite all the neighborhood protests and letters and petitions. So that's all I want to say about their position versus ours. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Was the home still on wheels when this discrepancy was discovered?
Yes, it was. We saw it was driven down the street.
Okay.
And that was the first time we figured out that something was going on, that they weren't going to build a home on this lot, that they were delivering a mobile structure. And at that point, I'm not sure of the dates of that, but that is when Mr. Campbell, who initially came around and was talking to neighbors and trying to figure out what was happening, because we were led to believe that there would be no mobile homes allowed on this street because of our lot size. So at that point, that's the only time we knew that something like this was happening.
Thank you.
All right, thank
okay.
you.
All right. I've got one more. Is there someone else? Is that everyone? Then I'll come back to you, sir. Get this gentleman.
My name's Norman Holte, and I live on Hoot Owl, down a little further on this, on the bottom side, on the south side.
All right.
And I've been a builder all my life, and this is a disgrace to the neighborhood. My wife and I, Sandy, sitting back here, we just bought into this neighborhood about 3 years ago. We bought a brand new house because I was in a hurry to move down here, so I didn't build it myself. But it was a well-built house, a stick-built house, and a real house. This gentleman doesn't sell real houses. These are manufactured houses. It's got, like Bert says, it's got the wrong pitch. He lied on the application. I don't know how the hell you can allow someone to build without a building permit. I simply don't understand it. I built two houses down here in Sussex County after I moved here, because I am a builder, and I had to go through hell. So. And I had to go through Denver. So you know what that's all about. But anyway, it doesn't have a real foundation. It's got blocks sitting on a little bit of concrete. The block isn't even secured to itself. The block is stacked up. They rolled it in, put it on the block, then they put block around the outside to hide it like it's a real foundation. It doesn't have a real foundation. And then, you know, we thought you were going to make a stop work order, and you didn't do that. Or maybe you have no guts or no power. So we weren't concerned about it, but so he keeps working on the damn thing. He puts the block around, and he has the electric come in there, I talked to the electrician. I said, you know, what are you doing? He said, well, we put the electric in. They keep working on the damn thing. Then they drill a well. Then they put a driveway in. And then they grade it. And, you know, it's like, we're not going to stop work, because if we do, they might give us a stop work order. So how in the hell can they build a building without a permit? How do you do that? Anyway, I protest the whole thing.
Okay.
It did come in one wheel, and it should go back out on wheels.
Okay, Mr. Campbell, then I'll come back in.
I've accumulated so much stuff in the last 2 weeks that I can't really keep track of it, to be honest with you. My initial search into this thing was done, I was actually away up in New England on business and a little bit of fishing combined. And when I came home, the first thing I did was, the lot in question is parcel 134-7-191. If you continue to look on the county's website, it will show that no building permit has actually ever been assigned to that lot. And I came up here and I asked the people at the permit and licensing desk to see a copy of the permit, and they said there wasn't one. So I said, well, how about the special use exemption? And they said, you have to go across to planning and zoning. When I went across to planning and zoning, they were good enough to give me this, the Board of Adjustment thing. And I started looking through it, and that's when I found the manufactured permit, the home permit. And when I went back over to the lady of permits, I said, I don't understand why you can't find this on this lot. And she said, oh, well, there's the reason right there. There's 55644 after the parcel ID. And I said, what does that mean? She said, we assign that to a unit because it is a mobile home in a mobile home park. So if you go right now to that parcel that you have a square around, there is no building permit issued to that lot. The only building permit is issued to that lot with this number behind it, signifying that it is a mobile home in a mobile home park. I think that's where a lot of this came from, is because something wasn't done correctly. But, and as I said again, you know, you've heard from all these people that have spent a lot of money to build really nice homes or buy really nice homes, and I think this is just wrong. It really is. Thank you.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
I'll take one question, then I'll take the, all right, come on, I'll take just one question. Go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify, right. Mr. Workman, you had asked about Mr. Hitch.
Yes.
Mr. Hitch is the uncle of a former neighbor. I've met him a couple of times over the last 28 years. And I called him personally when I found out that he had signed the deed covenants away, and asked him, you know, did he indeed do that? And he stated to me that what he signed was a piece of paper that gave, and he said that some company permission to buy the property with the intent that they put a standard home on the property. When I told him it was a mobile home, he said that's not what the intent was.
Okay. So
have you guys been involved in any other homes there been building?
I'm sorry?
Have you been involved in any other homes that have been building, that been put up there?
Have I been?
Yeah, I mean, your community.
Community.
What you were saying before, you're sort of involved into it?
Can I answer that?
So you're going to have to come up front, please.
You might have said that.
Since I've been involved in the neighborhood in the last 13 years, there's only been two homes built. We met both of the folks that were building the home. We knew what kind of home was being built. And as I said, we do not have a homeowners association, but when they told us they were building stick-built homes, you know, we don't say you can't have a green door on your house. We can't say you can't have pink shutters. But we do have those deed restrictions about a...
So you do, the community do still look at the house, even though...
That's correct. Like I said, we don't have an HOA, but we do abide by the rules. If somebody wants, like I said, Mr. Molly wanted to put a higher fence up, you know. So
okay.
We didn't know about this. Like okay. I said, it appeared overnight.
Okay.
And okay.
If I can ask one more question, you said not to bring up the deed restrictions.
Yeah, so yeah. We visit that
just
one.
Just one question on this.
Well, that's the last one then.
Every single person that has bought a piece of property on this street has been given the deed restrictions.
Okay.
Including Mr. Fleming. So okay. Who gives that to them? I mean, they end up in our package during settlements.
Well,
again,
you know, that typically what happens with these deed restrictions, and I don't know how these are set up. I haven't investigated the title, but what happens is those deed restrictions are recorded at the recorder of deeds office, and they're in their chain of title. So then they flow with the chain of title to a piece of property. In some cases, a property owner may receive them. They should receive them, but I'm sure there's cases where maybe they haven't. So it's one of those things that they probably, now we've got some laws with some newer communities that they have to be provided, but in this case, this is one that dates back 43 years or 44 years.
44 years.
So I don't know what may or may not have happened. But that is not something the county typically provides. That would be something between private individuals involved in the transaction if they were provided. So
we just had a case like that, 2 weeks ago? Didn't we?
Yeah.
Same way. We just had the same thing. Went back 40-some years before, and no, it's no help to you or no consolation, but we don't, nothing we can do. But now we can.
Okay. Thank you.
All right,
sir.
Okay, now, sir, is there any questions? We'll have them come back up for you, or?
I had a couple, but I don't know if any of the board members
did. Any of the board members have any questions? If not, then you're up then, Mr. Sharp.
Did you have something, Mr. Ward?
No, for questions for him?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, I'll do it later.
Okay. I'll defer. I mean, you guys go ahead.
He's going to let you
go ahead. I'm going to listen to him first, then have some questions.
Okay. I'll wait for you to finish.
Already. You're up, sir.
Well, first off, we were the understanding that Mr. Hitch has sole decision-making regarding this development until he or his heirs give up that right. And that's why Mr. Hitch also saw the plans, the specs of the home. He came to my office, and he knew exactly what was going on the property and signed off that he didn't care one way or the other. It's fine. We did not move forward with any kind of intent to cause harm to any neighboring property owners. There was no homeowners association for us to confer with. Mr. Hitch was our only point of contact, which we realized through our attorney when we were buying the property. That's where we get our deed restrictions and so forth. And we were asked to contact Mr. Hitch. He wanted to see all plans and specs of anything that goes into that property on those lots. It has to go through him, and that's exactly what we did. The homes, are built. They're built in a controlled environment in a manufactured home facility. This one in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, and it's transported to our lot and was a display model, a beautiful display model, which was transported to that lot and set up. By the time we got notification, this permit was not according to code, what have you, there was a problem with the permit. We had already had the house set. We'd spent $70,000+ on the property, $12,000 setting this home. Another multiple thousands of dollars at that point. The only thing we've done since this situation is install a well, which is a land improvement, install a driveway, and an air conditioner. I mean, there's very few things that were left to do. We almost completed this project by the time we were notified. Again, we did due diligence. There was no homeowner association to confer with, otherwise these people would have been contacted. And they would have had a say at that point before this ever came to happen. We did contact the only person we know of that had total and sole proprietorship here and just made the decision in which he signed off. The plans and specs were submitted as requested. The county issued a permit for a manufactured home, double wide, to be put on that property, and we acted upon that permit. Again, hardship. The hardship is the Wood Homes to my company, my our customer, who now, if the board decided that this customer was not going to get this house, that would be a very big hardship. Mrs. Paddock, she needs a home, and if she's told that this isn't going to happen, it's going to put her into a hardship. It's going to put us into a huge financial hardship. And I find it just to be, we're caught in a situation. If a permit had not been issued, then we would not have ever put footers in the ground, and we wouldn't be having this conversation.
True.
So, I don't know where that lies. And you know what? I love Sussex County. I worked with Sussex County for 18 years, and I put a lot of homes out there in the field. This has never happened. This has never been an issue with my home center, with my team, or with this county. It's just people make mistakes. Permit got issued, you know, based on information you look at in a computer, based on information that we get, and we have to act upon what we have in front of us. If you're given the go-ahead and you have a permit to go ahead, what would you do? And if you act upon it, are you to blame that you've done something wrong if you act upon something that's right there in front of you that says you have evidence to proceed? And there wasn't a stop work order. Otherwise, we would have stopped.
You say there wasn't?
No. She said there wasn't. You know?
No. We put a hold on the permit. So the only inspection ever granted on this permit was a footer inspection. And that happened within hours of us putting a hold on that permit. And he was verbally told there was a hold on this permit until this was taken care of. So there would be no further inspections done on this property. So the only inspection we ever did was a footer inspection, which means at that time there should not have been a home on that property, because you do the footer inspection and then the home gets placed. So when the only time we did an inspection, there was no home on the property, because we did a footer inspection.
Well, I don't know when the footer inspection was done exactly. I know the home
was done on the 12th.
The home arrived, it was set on the property on the 24th. We were notified on the 13th that we had an issue. We didn't have any other notification.
So yeah, you called in the, you were told verbally the day you came in to make this application that there was a hold on that permit. You called in for the inspection on the 11th, and the inspection was done on the 12th. The 12th we talked, then you came in to make the application, and at that time you were told there was a hold on this permit.
Home was set on August 24th.
Well, we didn't do an inspection until the 12th of September.
That could be a possibility, but the home was set on August 24th. How that happened, I don't know.
I don't know, because we did not get a notification of a request.
You didn't have an anchor inspection, a footer inspection.
There's only one inspection in the permit that says it was done. That was for the footer, and that got called on the 11th, and it was done on the 12th, which was in hours of me putting a hold on this permit.
Yeah. I mean, when we came in here to file for this, Jeff Whaley sent the notification. That home was well on the lot. I have witnesses here that can testify that home was well on the lot, well set, and I can certainly document that to the board at a later date with set group. Absolutely, that home was on the lot by when we got this notification. Absolutely.
So how far were you in on that when you got your notification? You had it set, that was it?
No, we had it set and trimmed, and I believe electric was done. I don't know if preliminary plumbing finished. We had already cleared the lot, purchased the lot. So there was quite a bit of construction.
So why didn't you stop after you found that out, and we kept on going? How come you kept on going? Why didn't you stop instead of the driveway, grading it and everything else? How come you didn't stop then?
Well, again, those were land improvements. It was to my true feeling that we weren't going to have an issue with this. I felt that we had already gone this far. You've already purchased this property for a lot of money. You've already improved the property by clearing it. You already put footers in the ground and the house being set there for over $12,000. You already connected some of the utilities. I mean, the only thing we're talking about is a well and a driveway and an air conditioner.
But what she says, I mean, well, the inspection, right?
Well, and we also don't have any control over the permits that are for a well and a septic. Those are a DENREC permit, so we can't actually stop a permit for those.
Okay.
The septic was already.
But you stopped.
We put a hold on any further inspections.
Inspection.
Just inspection.
So you really hadn't stopped then, supposed to, when they put that hold on that. You should have stopped.
On the inspections?
Mm-hmm. Her inspections.
Well, we haven't done any inspections since.
Since that. So you should have stopped then. You should have.
Right. What the county did was we put a hold on the permit, which means we were not doing any more inspections on the property until this matter got resolved.
Right. That didn't stop them from doing it. I mean, they just put a hold on...
Which means we were not going to do any further inspections.
Right.
Yeah, when we weren't going to do a tie-down inspection, we weren't going to do any final inspections.
Still this day.
So that, yeah, that's somewhat confusing then, too.
It's been confusing. So my apologies to the board for, and to these folks for any kind of hardship that any of this has caused. As I said, we did none of this out of malice.
We understand. I've seen you enough in here to believe that.
Pictures of it, and it's a nice home. But don't you think it's a little bit out of character of the rest of the homes there?
I think, you know...
It's a nice home, but you think, the pictures I saw, don't you think it's a little bit out of the character?
Well, I mean, it's not exactly like the other homes that are there, but again, I have to go off of what I'm given, okay? I'm given no restrictions that say a mobile home cannot go there. The word trailer was mentioned, but there's a connotation to trailer. That's not what we sell. There was a mobile home. There's nothing says a mobile home or double wide or manufactured home. It says is okay. So that alone, I know you don't consider that. We had sign off from the person who started this development. We had attorneys who we bought the property who saw nothing wrong with this. We called the county. We have a real estate agent who promoted to us that the property was okay for mobile homes and manufactured homes. We have the county that issues a permit for a manufactured double-wide home. I mean, we put houses in Plantation Park that are less square footage than this on the lot. And you're 135 by 75 all the time.
But that's a mobile home park. That's a mobile home park.
You have modulars, you have homes.
Please let him finish.
I'm just saying as far as the size, okay? If it's considered a park or whatever, I'm saying the size of the lots.
It doesn't apply in a mobile home park. We're talking about 3/4 acre non-mobile home park lots.
I consider this development a development. I consider Plantation Park a development. Maybe considered in sense a mobile home park, but my connotation of mobile home parks are from where I work in the mobile home business, is where you pay rent, not where you live. So when you own a piece of property, what you decide to put on it is up to you. And if somebody tells you or doesn't tell you that you can't do this, and all the evidence says that you can, why should you not proceed?
How many mobile homes have you placed on non-mobile home park lots on 3/4 acre or less than 3/4 acre in your experience without any issues?
Well, that has never been an issue that came up. That's never been an issue that's come up. This is the first time. We're crossing that bridge right now. It's not been something that we've had experience with. Why, if we hadn't got a permit, it wouldn't have happened. I'm sorry to keep saying that, and Janelle, I'm sorry. I know Sussex County has been very good to us, and we appreciate Sussex County. But somebody in Sussex County made a mistake, and that caused this tide wave to happen that leaves us here today. But it still doesn't negate the fact that the mistake was made and tens of thousands of dollars has been spent. A customer's livelihood, where she plans to live, is at stake. I understand these folks say that it's going to affect their value of their property. I don't see that as being the case. I see that as discriminatory. I do not see it as being something that's going to affect somebody's value.
No.
I mean, we could go all night about that.
Yeah,
everybody has an opinion. My opinion is no, but that's of course.
How does this mobile home affect your client's livelihood? As you just stated.
As far as she is looking to move into this home, it's almost complete. And we were planning on having it done and her moving into, and this has delayed that situation.
But you said it affects our livelihood. I thought livelihood was income.
Well, that's not what I exactly mean as far as income. So as far as where she's
going. I don't know that that's necessarily relevant to the issue at hand, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Okay. Ready?
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'm not sure if the board members, if you all have a copy of the building permit. I know it's been referenced a lot.
No.
I know I've seen a copy of it prior to this. It might be helpful to the board to see that. And I don't know if that would spur any questions from Ms. Cornwell after you've looked at it. But I just thought I'd suggest that that may be helpful to you all.
Yeah, I'd really like to have more time anyway before we take any action on it to go over all of it. That would be
If that's the case, then, Mr. Chairman, what might be appropriate is to leave the record open for the limited purpose of allowing staff to provide the building permit
information
and for questions to be asked of staff about the issuance of that permit.
And perhaps Mr. Fleming had offered proof that, you know, as far as a timeline, as what happened and what was.
That would be good. Give us more time to research that. Okay.
If that was the case, Mr. Mills, I'd suggest that be in a written format with a deadline.
Okay.
Right.
Like we've done in the past.
Right. And that could be, prior to our next.
Our next meeting?
Next meeting.
And the 16th.
It would also probably be nice to have it maybe in a week so that it could be sent out to us and we could review it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, be emailed out to us.
And of course, that can be emailed to me, I guess the others as well. I won't speak for them.
All right, well, then we'll put that into a motion then, or I have a motion on that to leave it open until.
Can I speak one more time?
Sir, I'm sorry, we're.
What I was going to offer is I have a copy of all those permits and everything right here in my hand.
Well, give us time to take it and look at it ourselves, sir. I won't have time tonight to do it. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I guess the question is, Mr. Chairman, are you going to accept that as an exhibit into the record?
Yeah, we're going to accept it in that way.
Okay, then perhaps it'd be good if you
give me before we make a motion.
Oh, before we make it? Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll accept it into the record.
Yeah, so if you want to submit that to Ms. Cornwell, you can do that, sir.
The testimony is closed. We'll accept it for that way. Then we'll vote. There we go.
Okay.
This is the only copy I have.
Can I
have
Just for clarification, this is actually the application, and that's already the record. Yes, so
we have the application. We just don't have the permit.
Correct, and that's right. He has both the application and the permit.
Yeah.
So there's nothing for him to submit that is not already in here. That it is, but we are going to provide that to them.
Gotcha. That's what she's going
to
do.
So you don't need to give that to us.
Can I submit our timeline? Just a written timeline.
Yep.
That's okay.
Yep. All right. Before we make the motion. Yep. All right. Accept the motion.
Be great. And get copies tonight, maybe.
Yep. We get copies of that sheet sent to
us. Yeah, we'll make copies of this and the application. So then, if you just, I think, Mr. Sharp, now the motion would be just to leave the record open.
I would say just leave it open for the limited purpose of allowing staff to provide a copy of the permit and to, if the board wanted to ask any questions of staff regarding that permit.
Yep.
So if there's somebody who wants to make that motion.
Okay, Mr. Mills, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second, by Mr. Mears, that we leave case number 12,036 open so that we may be provided with a copy of the permit by the staff and also if there's any questions that may need to ask of those. So all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign. Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Mears?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
And I, Mr. Calloway. So by a vote of 4-0, case number 12,036 will be left open. Okay.
Damn.